You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Hello and welcome to the Arch and Pull Car. We are in the car park at the Amex Community Stadium in Brighton, where Norwich City have suffered a pretty awful afternoon. 5-0 defeat to Brighton and Hove Albion, who everyone was expecting to be one of City's promotion rivals. It looks like Brighton may well have the march on City now. They're second, and as things stand this evening on Saturday, City still fourth somehow, despite that horrible loss. Paddy Davitt alongside me. It was only 1-0 at half time, Pad. Did you see quite that scale of defeat coming?
No, mate. No. Given, apart from anything else, I don't think Brighton score goals. Well, they scored them today in plentiful quantities, and you know, ultimately, some fans may feel this has been coming, really, because, you know, post second half Fulham onwards, it's just been just a catalogue of individual errors, kind of complacency, inability to defend, bringing pressure on themselves, not being able to withstand pressure. I'm thinking of Leeds second half in the League Cup, and here again, you know, second half, I get a 1-0 down and it's completely self-inflicted, but well in the game, and they're just so open on the counter, and then embarrassingly and worryingly, I think, for both the manager and Norwich as a squad who hope to get anywhere near the playoffs. The promotion, never mind the playoffs, is ultimately they just seem to throw the towel in. And, you know, I'm sorry, but the Championship is not a division where that policy is going to get you any success at all. You know, if you're just going to collapse like that, and it's almost, this is A, I can't be bothered, or B, this is too tough, then that's a recipe really for mediocrity. So something needs to change, and quickly. And clearly there'll be a lot of people who now feel that might be it for the manager, but, you know, I'd also look at them players. They're letting themselves down, they're letting the manager down, and they're letting the fans down. So all in all, it's pretty raw right now, but, you know, ultimately I suppose the next game is Leeds at home, and that is a must win, I would suggest.
Absolutely. I think at this point there's quite a few fans who have made up their minds about Alex Neil and aren't happy with what they're seeing. The first sub was being made. Nelson Oliveira was being brought on just as the third goal was being scored. And I think Stephen Naismith and Robbie Brady were brought on at 4-0. And I have to say their body language was perhaps reflective of what Alex Neil and Russell Martin have both hinted at after the match, in that there seems to be some players who just aren't up for the fight. I guess we may see who that is by who gets left out of the team next week. I guess we may see a few changes. But I suppose, without being too morbid, that we need to now see some kind of response, or there's a long international break coming up. That 2 weeks is going to feel pretty miserable, isn't it, if they can't get a result against Leeds, who, of course, they lost to on penalties on Tuesday night in the EFL Cup. Yeah. And I think Gary Monk is going to fancy that game.
Of course he is, yeah. Because he knows, and he'll, I'm sure, be drilling it into his players, is that you start well at Carrow Road, you know, ideally get a goal in front or just frustrate. We all know how it's going to play out. It's going to be a pretty poisonous atmosphere, and you know, it's quite pertinent that they've come up against the Brighton team managed by Chris Hughton today, because we can all kind of remember how his reign ended, and it was that absolutely abject home defeat against West Brom. And the atmosphere that day, you know, a la clap banners getting aimed in his direction, was pretty horrible, and nobody wants to see that repeated this coming weekend at Carrow Road. But all you can hope is that this has to be a watershed for this manager and this group of players. It has to be a watershed, because if not, then it won't just be changes on the pitch, I'm afraid. The fans will make it quite clear to the board, and they will have to take basically a note of that, because you can't just let the season drift on aimlessly now. It has to, you know, the good thing is it's still relatively early and they've obviously got points on the board. They haven't probably played anywhere near what they're capable of, but in their defence, you know, they did enough up to this four-game spell to get the points on the board. So, you know, it isn't the sort of situation that Neil came into, which he inherited from Neil Adams, where they were sort of 10th and really struggling to get in the top six. You know, they're still, as you rightly said there, as it stands this weekend, in the top four. But if things aren't going to change from and the nature of a defeat like that, it's one thing to get beat at a potential promotion rival, but to lose, as I say, in that manner and basically just raise the white flag and surrender, you know that isn't good enough, really. That's not acceptable. And it's not even about the quality of the Norwich squad, which we keep hearing about religiously. What a great squad he's got at his disposal. It's about
something Russell Martin actually said. We keep hearing how good we are and how we're supposed to be good enough to get promotion, but we need to back that with, we know Russ is a good speaker, but he said we need to back that with actions.
Yeah, no, 100% agree. I mean, it's about team spirit and fighting spirit. I mean, nobody's going to tell me that man for man Brighton have got better players than Norwich. Ditto Fulham, ditto Leeds, yet Preston even throw into the mix. But in all four games, Norwich have been decidedly second best. And, you know, the reasons for that, I'm afraid, have to go. The book stops with the manager. As far as I'm concerned, it's a results business. He's not getting results. So he knows the pressure is now firmly on. And it's irrelevant that he was manager of the month last month. That's been and gone. It's about
seems like distant
now.
History now, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, if it is a curse, and it's certainly it's a long-lasting one, because it's not just the first game after getting the award. It seems to be that this month is basically turned into a complete write-off, but they need to turn it around and turn it around quickly. And if they can get a positive result against Leeds, then you can then start to maybe put this run in context. But the longer this run goes on, I'm afraid, then the further away you think it's going to be that the manager can basically stay in his post, because, you know, ultimately it's not Norwich. As we've just seen in the last 24 hours, the accounts have been the latest set of annual accounts, and it's more or less been underlined, not that we needed telling, but Norwich can't afford to be, you know, a Leeds or a Sheffield Wednesday or a Nottingham Forest and basically languishing in this league for the next decade or whatever. If they're going to capitalise on the parachute money, it has to be this season or next, and that's why I think prompt action will be needed. But, you know, me personally, I think, you know, I think it would be slightly hasty to pull the trigger this side of Leeds. You know, as I say, if they get a positive result there, then they go into the international break and they can reassess. But what we've seen today is very troubling, very troubling. Just the manner of it, and seemingly a dressing room that doesn't, to me, look like they're all pulling in the right direction.
For the second time this week, with big stadium, big crowd, and I think there was nearly 30,000 here today, and I think the home crowd certainly played a part in annoying Norwich. They got stuck into Alex Pritchard about the fact that he nearly joined this club. I think they were chanting "What a waste of money" at one point, weren't they, which I'm sure he loved. Martin Olsen sort of lost the plot a bit in the first half when Glenn Murray seemed to try and get him sent off, but sort of feigning a headbutt. They both got booked for their reactions to that, and the crowd got really stuck into them. There was only one team on that pitch who looked like promotion team, and I think you could almost compare them with the Norwich of Paul Lambert, in that Glenn Murray played that Grant Holt role. Yeah. He really got under Olsen's skin. He got under the defence skin. He scored a hat trick. He was a pain all afternoon, and you know, Chris Hughton had a tough time with Norwich, and although he was keeping very dignified after the game, as usual, I'm sure behind the scenes he'll be punching the air, because I'm sure he'll be really satisfied with that. Yet Russell Martin came out afterwards and spoke to us and was really, really down in the dumps. He was out of the dressing room very quickly. He said that harsh words had been said. He looked very keen to just get away from it all, and even said the fact that he's from Brighton, he had family and friends in the crowd today, made it just that little bit more painful for him. On the pitch, Alex Pritchard came in and started, and we saw him and Wes Houlihan play together. It was something that Alex had highlighted as being something that he was a bit nervous about, wasn't it? Can they work together? Would you say that is a fairly major backward step as far as we go forward with Alex Pritchard and Wes Houlihan being able to start?
Well, yeah, I mean, you'd have to say in this environment, I mean, contrasted with Rotherham at home, where Norwich are dominant, and it's almost a case of we'll cut through as and when. Different kettle of fish. You come here, as you say, 30,000, promotion rival, best defensive record, most amount of clean sheets, 8 unbeaten, I think, lost 1 in 18, in fact, at home. Totally different dynamic, and frankly, Norwich were powder puff. You know, going forward as a creative force, too passive, too much. I'll wait for the guy alongside me to do something. And in the context of the way, the calamitous way they gave away that early goal to Murray, Michael McGovern, what he's doing, I do not know. Then that manner from heaven for a Chris Hughton side, right, we've got the goal, we'll now sit in two banks of four, we'll defend, we'll fill holes, try and break us down, and we'll hit you on the counter, and that's how it panned out. So, no, from what we saw today, in that context, Pritchard and Wes doesn't work, because Norwich are then too easy to play against. You know, they're too lightweight. And Cameron Jerome just gets isolated. There's no service. Jacob Murphy again, you know, he looks like a man who needs to be dipped out. But
I think that's something that's frustrating a lot of fans, actually, isn't it? Although in the press yesterday ahead of the game, he said that they'd really looked after Jacob this week and really tried to make sure he was ready for this. He looks like his confidence has taken a knock now. He looks like he needs to go back to the bench, doesn't he? So it's not an easy fix for Alex. You know, his options with Johnny Howson out, with Yusuf Malumba out, Matt Jarvis, you know, they're all still not going to be back for Leeds, are they? There's Alex Tetti now suspended for next week as well, so he's almost going to have to play Louis Thompson. His options aren't, all of a sudden, after talking about how strong this squad is, he hasn't got loads, has he?
No, definitely not. No, and as you say, how often does it happen that they all seem to be in that central midfield, sort of wide midfield areas where, start of the season, Norwich did look very top-heavy. Well, not anymore. I mean, yeah, no, ultimately it's Louis Thompson you think is going to have to come in for Tete, but then he's alongside Dorans and he's only a young man, and that's going to be a game, you know, that is going to be a game for bravery, and not bravery as in piling into tackles, to take the ball, get on the ball and make something happen, because as I say, to repeat myself, that crowd will turn up on Saturday, and given that they've been so badly let down today, I mean, those 2,800 have turned up here, they've absolutely, I mean, Neil's come out and apologised, but hollow words. They need to see actions on the pitch now, and if they don't start well against Leeds, that crowd will get on their back, and rightly so, on this run, because it's not good enough. They're being shortchanged, and that's why it's going to need a lot of bravery in terms of the players, but also Neil needs to, this is crucial now, he needs to select the right team Saturday, and it might not necessarily be the best players and the most creative players, but just a team who can play like a team, know what they want to do, and are willing to put in the hard yards, because, you know, increasingly you look at this Norwich side and it's almost, well, we can't be bothered to do the running, to do the closing down, to do the dirty stuff. We'll just turn it on when we feel like we can do it, or when we're able to bully a team. But too often in this run, it's Norwich getting bullied, and you know, really, ultimately, as I say, Leeds is massive now on many levels.
Almost topped off by that fourth goal came. Well, it started with Graham Dorans pulling out of a tackle, as Steve said, well, didn't it? And I guess that was possibly sensible, knowing that he couldn't afford to get his fifth yellow on the same game that Alex Tetti had. But that then led to some poor defending, and out of nowhere, Tim Closer decides to try and be Franz Beckenbauer and pulls off some, as Alex Neil called it, a pirouette on the ball in the middle, and they go and score again. One mention for Anthony Knockhart as well. He was a real live wire for Brighton, wasn't he? I guess to wrap it all up, we're just going to have to see what the reaction is from the club, really. I mean, I think we can see the tone that's set from fans here. Russell and Alex have both come out and tried to sort of put a brave face on it, but it's going to be a long week for people now, isn't it? It's strange that you can go from such a high after beating Rotherham 3-1 and everything looking like it was coasting along to, quite conceivably at the moment, moving back into the Neil Adams territory of dropping back into mid-table.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, that is it. It's unbelievable how quickly it turns. But Alex Neil again reiterated in the post-match press conference there a little while earlier that, you know, he's almost to beat Rotherham. He gets the manager of the month, 7 wins out of 8, and it's this team have set fair now, and can they go on and win the title? It's looking a long way from that at the minute. It's literally, can they right the ship and basically get themselves back in the mix? Because today they looked a long way short of Brighton. Newcastle continue to churn out the wins now. I think they're going to be over the hill before long at this rate. And Norwich are going to find themselves in a scrap now. I think they're staying in around the top six. And, you know, you do not, as I say, it's imperative now. This can't be allowed to, you know, sort of limp on into Christmas. If things aren't working, then things need to be changed. And whether that's the top end of the club or just in terms of the people who take the pitch and wear the shirt, then something, there needs to be a reaction now, because it's not sufficient now just to hear the same stuff from Alex Neil, to hear the same stuff from the players, see the same players on the park, because it isn't working. And as I say, if there's any crumb of kind of comfort that comes from this game is that the manner of it has to be a trigger, has to be a watershed. And as Neil himself said, you know, he's given players chances in this run. They haven't done it, and there will have to be changes. But as we've just discussed there, Dave, the room for manoeuvre he's got is fairly limited in certain parts of the pitch. So really, it's no understatement to say these are probably the next 7 days or so are the biggest of Alex Neil's managerial career.
Ah, football. It's just a game, isn't it? A fun week awaits for us all. Right, Pad shooting off to the bright lights of London, and I'm shooting back to Norfolk to do the Trouse 10K in the morning. I'm looking forward to shaking off this afternoon. We'll have the full post-mortem, I suppose is the best word to call it, in Monday's papers, and there's already some reaction on pinken.com. Throughout the week, there'll be plenty more, I'm sure, and if you've got any questions, you know where me, Michael and Paddy are on Twitter. And, yeah, make sure you have your say, because there's going to be plenty of opportunities for it this week. With that, we will leave you with the thoughts of City manager Alex Neil.
Alex Neil, is that the worst day you've had as a football manager?
Yeah, I don't think there's any questions about that. You know, I've been fortunate that that's never happened to me before, really, in terms of that type of scoreline.
Can you begin to explain what happened out there today?
No, because the bottom line is people—it's just the scoreline's all that matters. Do you know what I mean? And that for us is embarrassing. And all I can really do is apologise, particularly all the fans who travelled down to watch the game, because we should have served up better than that. But it's one of the games where we make a mistake for the first goal, which changes the game, because then we need to go and try and force the issue. We then get done with a counter attack, and then we get done with a cross into the box. And then for that point, the disappointing thing was, is we didn't really keep our discipline and keep working and different things like that. We sort of switched off and made it easier for them, and that's probably the hardest thing to accept.
It wasn't just that first goal, was it? There were so many errors defensively today.
I actually thought first half defensively played well. You know, I don't think they had any chances apart from the goal. Michael knows he made a mistake and he needed to clear it. And then the second half, once again, obviously the ball gets slid down the side as we give the ball away in the middle of the park, and it's a quick counter when up until that point we'd probably forced an issue a little bit in the game and sort of had a bit of pressure and a bit of play. But like I say, it's regardless of talking about the game and how the game went, it's just people just look at the scoreline, and that for a club like us is not acceptable.
Russell Martin's just been out here hurting clearly. He said he felt too many of his teammates gave up in the second half. That those are his words. Are they fair?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think after that third goal, I would expect us, with the quality we've got and the experience we've got, to go and sort of shut up shop, basically, and just sort of put it down to a sort of a bad day, and hopefully sort of recover and then go and see what we can do next week. But it ended in a manner which is probably humiliating for everyone.
There have been concerns about some of the goals you've been giving away this season, and it seems to be you've led in 4 at Newcastle, 5 here. The teams at the top of this division are scoring plenty against you, aren't they?
Yeah, but I'll be honest with you, we're the downfalls, makers of our own downfall, really. You know, it wasn't as if their goals were well crafted by them. I mean, I think the second goal was a decent counter attack, but other than that, one's a straight set piece into the box, we get beat at the back post. The first one, we get the ball away. The second one, I've got a centre back trying to pirouette when they're 4-0 down. There's no excuses.
What do you do as a manager to put this right?
It's difficult, you know, because I think just over a week ago, we're at the top of the league and everything's nice and rosy. And then a week and a half later, obviously, we're in a completely different scenario at the moment. So the only thing you can do is sort of take your medicine, take the criticism that's going to come my way and the players' way, and then go and work harder and make sure we try and put it right.
Do you feel that criticism is deserved after what you saw today?
Yeah, you can't. There's no getting away from a 5-0 defeat, regardless about the game and how it's been played. That's irrelevant.
And what about in terms of the team next week? You've just lost 5-0. Do you make wholesale changes? What do you do?
It's something I'll have to sit and look at in the video, and then make decisions from there.
Russell Martin told us as well that some harsh words had been said in the dressing room. Were some of those from you, or did you let the players do the talking?
I think it's always a two-way thing. You know, I think there's always stuff to be said from the players, from myself, because I think everybody's embarrassed. We've obviously got to sort of hand.
you know, to lose by this margin at a team like Brighton, it does put a huge question mark, doesn't it, on Norwich City and your ability to compete at the top of this division. Did you feel that question mark now? Do you feel that?
Well, I didn't over a week and a half ago. I didn't. I think certainly just now. Then yeah, I think there's going to be question marks put upon us.
Thanks for talking to us, Alex. Thank you, kid.
Thanks, Alex. Moro Casino.
America's social casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus. Moto Casino.
America's social casino. Download the Moto Casino app today.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.